The lessons over the last couple of weeks of time have featured the prophets of God and the plan of God for our souls, and how interconnected the prophets of God were in God's original plan. Why did the Lord choose to do it this way? There's a passage in the last verse of Revelation chapter 4 that tells us, "For his good pleasure these things are and have been created." To sum up the idea that sometimes we just don't understand why God did what he did, but we do understand what he did because of his explanations that he has given. For his good pleasure, he said, he did these things, and as a result, in his good pleasure, he determined to send forth his word to the world. You remember Jesus' words in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed," Jesus said. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice the condition, "if you continue in my word." Number one, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will also be my disciple indeed. Notice that in this connection, true discipleship of the Lord involves following his word. In John chapter 12, beginning at verse 41, we read of certain religious leaders among the people who believed on him, but for fear they'd be cast out of the synagogue, they would not confess him, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What do we find here? We find people who wanted to be believers, but they were not true believers. They were fearful of being cast out of their positions in the synagogue, and they thought that was more important than following God's way. Jesus said regarding these individuals in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, that what plant the heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. If we find ourselves today practicing the same sort of ideologies, so that our faith is not an obedient faith, we fall into the same condemnation that they were falling into in the ministry of Jesus Christ. If not, why not? What will the Lord say to those individuals that they were not his disciples indeed? They did not continue in his word, and thus they were not made free. What will the Lord say to those individuals who believed on him, but for fear they'd be cast out of the synagogue, would not confess him, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Can they find themselves in a right relationship with the Lord when they love the praise of men more than the praise of God? If that is true, then what about God's expectation? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to whom? To those who obey him. What about those who disobey him? Are they also going to be saved? And if it is the case that people disobeying the Lord will be saved, right along with those who obey the Lord being saved, then may we ask this question, what benefit is there in obeying the Lord? If those that are not obeying the Lord are blessed the same as those who do obey the Lord, what is the blessed benefit for those that do follow the Lord? You know, when we ask this question, we're talking about God's initial plan, and it's back to that idea. When Jesus talked about the word of the Lord, he said, "My word will judge you in the last day." John 12, verse 48. For he said, "The word that I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father gave me these words and commandments that I deliver to you." The Father's word, his commandments, his will was explained by Jesus Christ, his Son. And Jesus said, "It's my word that will judge you in the last day." And it's really not just my word, he said. It's the word of the Heavenly Father. Why did God teach us the way that he did? He wanted everyone to have the opportunity to come to him. Paul wrote to Timothy these words God who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Even the idea of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 is noted to be on the basis of that knowledge. It is said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice that faith is more than just a guess. It is based upon God's teaching, accepting His Word. Romans 10 verse 17 sums it up. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What then do we discover in the Bible over and over again that the Lord decided to do in reaching out to man? He taught His Word. He wanted His Word to be proclaimed. He wanted His Word to be obeyed and followed. When Jesus began His mission here upon this earth, teaching the words of the Heavenly Father, back in Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Notice, he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. How do we know the will of the Father who's in heaven, Jesus? Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Well, then Jesus gave an example. He said, notice the man who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The winds came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Whom are these people? These are the people that heard his sayings and were doing them. Then he says, those who hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not, him will I liken unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The same floods came, the same winds blew and beat upon that man's house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What happened to this house? It came down. Why did it come down? Jesus said, I will liken the man who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not unto the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and great was the fall of it. What do we find then in Jesus' initial teaching about God's great plan in reaching out to man by the word of the prophets and by the word of Jesus Christ? He taught we must put it into practice. As late in the New Testament as James' writings, in James chapter 1, he says to us, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What do we do when we just hear his word and do not put it into practice? We deceive ourselves. So what do we see in our lesson study today? We see that God's great plan, explained by himself in his Bible, is to guide and direct men by his word. Jesus said we'd be made free if we continue in his word. He said he would give us eternal salvation to those that obey his word. He further said his word was not his alone, but the Father gave me the commandment that I deliver to you. This is the word of the Heavenly Father. And in the beginning of his ministry, he said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but he that doeth the will of my Heavenly Father. Doing the will of the Heavenly Father is important in our lives, and no wonder we have a whole book in the New Testament, the book of Acts of the Apostles, that show us people obeying the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, believers are told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch is a man who goes along his way reading about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53 in our Bibles. Did not know what it meant. Philip joined himself to the chariot, began at the same scripture, and preached to him Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Notice the word that he wanted to obey. He said, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. They both got out of the chariot. He went down into the water with Philip, and Philip baptized him. He came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing. Notice the example that is given there in Acts 8. In Acts 9 and in Acts 22, we read of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Not on the road to Damascus. We read that on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus said, "Go into the city, and there you'll be told what you must do." What he must do was on the road into the city. And as he heard that, in the city he went to hear that word. Ananias came to him, according to Acts 22, and said, "Brother Saul," a fellow Jewish brother, not a brother in the Lord yet, he still had his sins with him. Listen what's said there in Acts 22, verse 16. "Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He still had his sins with him in the city. And Ananias, the gospel preacher, said, "You can arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." Many years later, when Paul authored the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 6, look what he wrote. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Notice the plural personal pronoun, we. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were buried with him by baptism into his death? And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also were raised to walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved or serve sin." Notice the personal pronouns used over and over again. We and us and our. Notice that he includes himself along with the brethren at Rome as obedient to the Lord's will. Notice today, our salvation from sin depends upon our following the word of God. And as we follow his word, like Paul did, and like the brethren at Rome did, we'll be raised to walk in newness of life from the watery grave of baptism into Christ. Someone says, "Well, Romans chapter 6 is really speaking about Holy Spirit baptism, not talking about water baptism at all, but it's Holy Spirit baptism." Notice that it's significant things that are stated there that defy that. Holy Spirit baptism came upon the people in Acts chapter 2. These people in Romans 6 were said, "We were planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not be enslaved or serve sin." The whole description there is far different from the Holy Spirit baptism of Acts chapter 2 that came upon him and later on the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Came upon them. Notice that when Peter speaks about the household of Cornelius, he says in Acts 11 at verse 14, "As I began to speak, the Spirit fell upon them as on us at the beginning. Who was I that I could withstand God?" The Holy Spirit baptism was not for salvation. It was for the sign to be shown that the full gospel message of hope and salvation was to be preached by Simon Peter to the Cornelius, the Gentile convert. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, he commanded him to be baptized in water. Notice the command. Why would he command him when the Holy Spirit came upon them as I began to speak? Really and truly, as you look at those verses in Acts 10 and Acts 11, you read in Acts 10, 43, the teaching was to bring faith in his heart. In Acts 10, 48, the command to be baptized in water. Notice Acts 11 at verse 14, "As I began to speak, the Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning," talking about the day of Pentecost back there, at the beginning of this whole gospel ministry. And he said, "Who was I to withstand God?" Then it says in Acts 11, 15, "Then they held their peace and glorified God that he had granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles." These people to whom Peter was explaining the salvation of a Gentile man, Cornelius, said that he repented unto life. Notice Acts 10:43, he repented. In Acts 10:43, he believed. In Acts 10:48, he was baptized. In Acts 11:15 through 18, he was repenting. You can go back to Acts 10 and never read the word repent. But you know that it happened because that's what they understood took place. He turned away from the patriarch age and into serving Christ Jesus. He followed the word that was preached to him by Simon Peter. And notice that in Acts 10, that's what Peter was told to do. And that's what Cornelius was told to anticipate. When he comes to you, he'll tell you words whereby you and your house can be saved. Those were the words of Simon Peter, the word of God that he preached to him, the great hope of the soul that he now enjoyed. Do you enjoy that hope of the soul? Are you obeying the word of God? Thanks for your study with me today. This is Robert Rawson for the Crockett Church of Christ, and the Sunday sermon to be delivered on October the 20th, Lord willing, will be this sermon that you've heard in major point form.